How much can we be thankful for thy providence more? Isn't that a wonderful song? Those lyrics are fabulous. What if you could meet and have a conversation with and get to know the wisest man who ever lived? What would it be like to meet this individual, the wisest man who ever lived? Ever. We'll show you that in a minute. In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9, God said, but God was telling, David was wanting to build a house for God, and God told him that he would let his son build him a house. God told David, you'll have a son, and he will be a man of peace and rest, and I'll give him rest from all of his enemies around. Peace and quiet during his reign. His name will be Solomon. I'll grant Israel peace in his reign. He's the one who will build a house for my name. Your son David. Solomon will be the one, David was told. He will be my son. God said, he will be my son, and I will be his father. That's pretty powerful for God to say that. And he said that of us, too. We are his sons, right? And God said, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever over Israel. Solomon's name literally meant peaceful. The word Solomon, his name meant peaceful. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see where, and we can understand because of God's feeling toward him, it said Solomon loved the Lord. 1 Kings 3:3. He walked in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed still on the incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said to him on the Mount Gibeon in a dream, he said, ask, Solomon, what shall I give you? Ask for anything you want. And Solomon said, you've shown great mercy to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You continued his great kindness for him and given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Solomon recognized that it was God's providence that allowed him to sit on his father David's throne over Israel. Therefore, Solomon answered God's question, what shall I give you? He said, give to me your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord. God was happy with his answer that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11, and God said to him, because you've asked this thing for yourself and have not asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I've done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there, and this is what we referred to earlier, God told him, there has not been anyone like you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. So Solomon, God told him right there that he would be the wisest man who ever lived, the wisest human being. No one like you before you, and no one shall be like you that will arise after you. And God said, I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there will be no one like you among any of the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, now God was giving him this condition, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments like your father David did, then I will lengthen your days. God said, if you keep my commandments, I will give you long life. For the remainder of this message, I'd like to delve into the book of Ecclesiastes, which happened to be the words, very words of the preacher. Solomon called himself the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And we can absorb some of the wisdom that God gave to him, the wisest man ever. And he said, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Everything is futility. Everything is futile in life, on the earth. Everything in this life is futile. That which has been is what will be. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. What has been is that which will be, and what has been done is that which yet will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. The preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And he said, I set my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning everything that's done under heaven, this burdensome task that God has given to the sons of men, with which they must be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, everything is futile. Everything is vanity. Grasping for the wind. Solomon said in his heart, he said, come now, I'll test you with mirth. Enjoy pleasure. He said, this too was vain. I said of laughter, madness and mirth, what good does it do? What does it accomplish? I searched my heart to know and gratify my flesh with wine while guarding my heart with wisdom. He went to alcohol, yet still held on to wisdom and to how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built houses and I planted vineyards. I made orchards and gardens for myself and all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself pools of water to water all the trees and plants and gardens. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered up silver and gold. Silver in his days was like, it was so common that it was like the value of stones, rocks, gravel, sand. But he said, I gathered silver and gold, the special treasure of kings. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. He saw to it that his wisdom remained with him. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward. Nothing is better for a man, Solomon said, than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy the good profit from his labor. This also I saw. He recognized that the blessing of enjoying the profit of his labor, he said, I saw this was from the hand of God. He recognized that that was a blessing from God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? The richest man and wisest man who ever lived. For God gives wisdom. God is the one who gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he can give to him who is good before God. Solomon said this is also vanity and grasping for wind. In chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, he says, God made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts. Chapter 3, verse 11 of Ecclesiastes. Solomon recognized that God had a plan for humanity to live forever. That God had a plan for people to live forever at some point in history. That's why he said God put eternity in their hearts. Except that no man can figure out the work that God does under the sun. He said, I know there's nothing better than people to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that everyone should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. That is the gift of God. He said, I said in my heart concerning men's condition, he says, God tests people. God tests men that they can see for themselves that we're all just like animals. He tests people to see that we're just like animals. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them all. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. We all breathe the same air as the animals, right? All go to one place. All are from dust, and all return to dust. Then later on in chapter 4, Solomon extols the value of friendship. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one could lift up his companion. But woe to the one who is alone when he falls. That's one reason why we meet together, to get to know each other and benefit from this fellowship, this oneness of the joy that's the gift of God and his Spirit, right? If two lie down together, they can keep warm, right? But how can one keep warm alone? When I read this, it reminded me of years ago, as a teenager, I went camping in the desert out by Barstow, way out in the desert. And my friend Philip Shields and I were hiking around in the desert mountains, the hills there, and it got dark. Little did we know how cold it gets in the desert at night. We had one sleeping bag between us. We both crawled into one sleeping bag because it was so cold that night. We learned a lesson that Solomon told us about here in the book of Ecclesiastes. If two lie down together, they can keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? And then Solomon also was inspired to say in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, when you go into the house of God, walk prudently, be circumspect. In other words, lean to wisdom, and draw near to hear. Come into God's house, into God's presence, to hear. Come to listen, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know that they do evil. Don't be rash with your mouth. And don't let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you, God's in heaven, and we are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. I've always loved that passage. It goes along with one of the Proverbs that says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is esteemed to be wise. Even when a fool keeps his mouth shut, people might think he's, hey, that guy's got some things on the ball, some things going. As for every man to whom God gives riches and wealth and has given him power to eat of it, he can rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God. In chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was saying, don't say, why were the former days better than these? For you don't ask wisely concerning this. In other words, remember the good old days? That causes us to lean in the direction of living in the past, right? Without having a regard for what God has planned for us in the future. God wants us to have His vision, the vision of His plan, His kingdom, His family, the things He's got in mind for us. So don't worry about the good old days. Think about what God has in mind. For wisdom is a defense, like money is defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. God's plan is for the wise to have eternal life, right? Don't take to heart everything you hear other people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others, right? In a fit of goofiness, sometimes we'll not realize what we're saying. Chapter 8, who is like a wise man? Who knows the interpretation of a thing? Wisdom makes a person's face shine, and the sternness of his face goes away. Nobody has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. No one has the power over his day of death, right? None of us can predict or know about when our life will end. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, that's why we live in a world that is driven by evil and wickedness, right? Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, God's judgment is still to come, right? It's interesting that David observed in Psalm 37 that God looks at the wicked and he laughs at them because he sees their day is coming. Even though Solomon says, I see that the evil does wicked 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know. He knew without a doubt that because there is a God, that it will be well with those who fear God, those who have a reverence for God. It will be well with them. He says, so I commended enjoyment because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat and drink and be merry, for this will remain with him all his days, which God gives him under the sun. He says, this is an evil done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Even the wicked die, so life ends for good people too. But for him who's joined to all the living, those who are still alive, there's still hope. Those who are still alive, for them, for us, there's still hope. I love this, what he says. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. What an interesting analogy that is. Solomon gave us advice to live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which God has given you under the sun. All the days of vanity, that is your portion in life, and all the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. There's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going, right? So he says, and I couldn't help being reminded that there was a Christian friend at my office when I was working at my former employer. He had this on his wall in his office. It says, whatever your hand finds to do it, do it with your might, because there's nothing in the grave where you're going. And he says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, or riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. For time and chance happens to them all. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, in this physical life, time and chance can happen to anyone. And it does happen to everyone. Chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes is saying, even when a fool walks along the way, he's blatantly, obviously a fool, right? He lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone his nature, his character, that he's a fool. If the spirit of a ruler rises up against you, if you're called on the carpet somewhere in an environment where people are accusing you of something, he said, don't leave your post for conciliation or composure pacifies great offenses. If you retain your composure, humility will make a difference. And you can wade through that accusation. Don't curse the king, even in your thought. This is more wisdom about what you're thinking or saying. Don't curse the king even in your thought. Don't curse the rich even in your bedroom. For the bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. In other words, he's saying, be careful what you think and say, especially about those who are in authority, because secrets can all too often be found out. And your opinion of someone will be found out. So humility and wisdom go a long way in human relationships. In chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, he addresses the value of diligence when he said, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you don't know what evil will be on the earth, right? He who observes the wind, he won't sow. Oh, it's too windy to plant seeds now. And he who looks at the clouds, oh, it's going to rain, he won't reap. as you don't know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you don't know the works of God who makes everything. God makes everything happen, especially the weather, right? In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, don't withhold your hand, for you don't know which one will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And he starts to draw his book of wisdom in Ecclesiastes to a conclusion in the last chapter, chapter 12, by focusing on seeking God early in life. Remember now, remember your Creator now. In the days of your youth, we have a lot of youth here, right? We're all used to some degree. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, before the years draw near, when you say, oh, I have no pleasure. I'm too old. I can't have any fun. I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and stars are not darkened, and the clouds don't return after the rain, in the day that the keepers of the house tremble and strong men bow down and the grinders cease. The teeth are falling out. The dentures are going haywire. When the grinders cease and they're few and those that look through the windows are dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, and one is startled, rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Remember your Creator. In other words, keep God a number one priority in our lives. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose or the golden bowl is broken. I read an article years ago about how the analogy of the silver cord refers to the connectivity of the brain to the heart through the chest, the connections there. When the silver cord is loosed and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, then the dust will return to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, the one who put eternity in our hearts. When our physical bodies are done and our life is ended, our spirit returns to God who gave it. We don't physically go to heaven as a body, but our spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is futility, all is vanity. The preacher says, because I was wise, he said, the preacher still taught the people knowledge. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs and songs. 1 Kings 4 says, Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs in his day and 1,005 songs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. So I commend to you the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, as well as Psalms, the words of his father David. The words of the wise are like goads and like prongs, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd, inspired by capital S, the shepherd, And further, my son, Solomon said, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there's no end, and of much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon told us the conclusion of the whole matter is to revere God, fear God, and keep his commandments. This is man's all, or some translations say, this is the whole duty of mankind, to fear God and keep his commandments, to have a reverence and a respect for God and his ways, all his statutes and principles and commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment. Everything is going to be weighed in the balances at some point in history. After, when people are brought up from the grave after living a physical life, everything will be weighed in the balances, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And it's interesting that even the wisest man who ever lived, 1 Kings 11 tells us the story of the fact that God was inspired to be preserved these words about this man, the wisest man who ever lived. He goofed up and made mistakes too. When his desire of his eyes was trying to be satisfied, he said, King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of all these different tribes, the Edomites, Ammonites, Sidonians, Hittites, from all the nations that God said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them or associate with them. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. Sadly enough, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord, 1 Kings 11, was not loyal to God anymore, as was the heart of his father David. As we know, David is called a man after God's own heart. But sadly, the ending of Solomon his son was not that way. So it says, verse 9, chapter 11, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. God himself appeared to Solomon twice, the wisest man who ever lived, and had commanded him. God had commanded him and warned him concerning this thing, that you should not go after other gods. There's only one God. Thankfully, we reverence him and know him and worship him together as his family and his children here. Unlike what Solomon did in the end, even though he was the wisest man who ever lived, we can take these lessons with us from the book of Ecclesiastes and look forward to the plans and future that our God has for us.